Adam Lafondra places it into that bottom corner, and the Cove celebrates.
Here's Callum Newton.
Good morning, good evening, everybody, fans and listeners of the number one Sydney FC podcast. I am your host this evening, stepping out of the very large shadow, literally and figuratively, of Jonathan Finger and into the very big shoes of Jonathan Finger as well. He's got an RDO. I think he's a 1 week calf injury. So I'll be your host for the evening, and we're back with the wonderful Julian Bumbuck. How you doing, Jules?
Good, mate. 1 week calf injury. I think we've heard that before.
Yeah, I think it's his other calf. I think it's his other calf.
Okay.
Running about now. So he's off for a little bit of rehab, but it's in two very capable hands at the moment with yourself and I.
That's it.
Jonathan has laid down some things that he wants me to say, and I know he'll be listening at 7:01 a.m. in the morning and then messaging me to say, why haven't you done this? Like I did last week, I stuffed up with a little bit of editing. Very kind that the listeners who did pick it up didn't actually say anything. Thank you guys, but Jonathan did, the dictator that he is. But he does want to say a big thanks to Craig and Layla Woods, who have broken broken new ground for both Sky Blue Stories and Arrow Sports. Craig and Layla did a pre-game interview as Sydney FC fans on national television. And Layla, who has previously won the Sky Blue Stories custom jersey made by Arrow Sports, was wearing it proudly during the interview. I did see Layla and Layla and Craig, and I did notice the jersey when I did arrive shortly before the men's game. And I want to apologise to Craig. He did call out my name, and I was hearing, Sean. And I'm like, I'm not used to this fandom. The fame and not fortune that comes with having a podcast. So I wasn't used to hearing my name being yelled out by grown men. So, Craig, sorry, I realized it was too late, but thank you so much for calling out my name, and appreciate you, Layla, wearing our jersey. But that's a great segue, because I can say, and I want to say thank you to Arrow Sports for sponsoring this episode again. He can take your brand, your school team, your soccer team, your club team's jerseys to a whole new level. He can put the brand out into hundreds of people. So please get in touch with Arrow Sports. The football season, the winter season is not long away with registration. I'm already harassing my guys to start getting registered or start to at least think about it, because that's often the hardest thing, Jules, when you manage and look after a football team, is just getting them to communicate and to register on time. So
it's like getting blood from a stone.
Oh, it's awful. So all your sporting needs can be done by Adrian and Arrow Sports. Let's hit this around the grounds, Jules. The one thing I did want to talk about first is this club championship. It's a nice idea, you know, when I think of F1, but like the Constructors Championship, I think they call it. I don't know if any other clubs or things do it around the world, but
I don't think so. Like you said, mate, it's a good idea. I think it's a good idea, but it's just a bit weird the way it's structured when you look at they had a little sort of couple of images explaining of how it works, and it just was a bit convoluted.
Yeah, I just think it's a bit too early to start it when Canberra United don't have a men's team. Central Coast used to have a women's team back in the day, don't have a women's team. MacArthur doesn't have a women's team. United don't have a women's team. So I just think maybe wait, I don't know, what, two-ish, three seasons, whatever the age we're thinking about.
They were saying, didn't they say, I think, I'm not sure, and I could be misinformed, but I'm pretty sure that that Bulls were planning to get a team together next season. And I think they've got that affiliation now with the Northbridge FC Bulls, whatever, insignia you want to add to that as well.
They also have, like, right in their doorstep is MacArthur Rams, which is such a
big club,
NPL club, and has done really well in the women's game with the likes of the Karma Sisters. Teresa Blyce was there once upon a time. But just at Southwest in general, it's I'm no town planner or geographist, but it's like it's such a growth corridor. So they'd be silly to take advantage of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And look, I agree, Sean, with regards to the setup that it's on at the moment with only nine teams. It sort of doesn't make a lot of sense. Just wait those extra couple of years. I agree. Just to have a little bit more integrity around how the club championship is actually decided, because nothing's more frustrating when, for example, even in a singular league where you're playing somebody three times, but then somebody else twice, like it brings into question the integrity of the competition. And I think, subsequently with this, it doesn't make a lot of sense, does it?
Yeah. Nice idea, but maybe they could have waited a little bit. Now, the next thing I want to chat about the first thing that caught my eye was the article done by the wonderful Vince Rigari. And I think, Jules, you and I agree, there's a lot of sports or football commentators in Australia, ex-players, ex-coaches and the like. But Vince just really speaks to me. Like, I would say probably if he put out 10 articles in a week or something like that, I'd say I would probably agree 9 times out of 10 with him.
Yeah, 100% on the same board here. I think Vince has got the best takes, consistent takes of anybody in the soccer Twitter land when it comes to journalists. I think he's just extremely level-headed. And the article that you're referring to, where the banner headline is, "We're not going to change. Sydney FC haven't grown stale," Corica says. I think it's a really good sort of piece, and it sort of brings into question a lot of the things that we've said on the pod. It's interesting that Corica obviously backing himself, and fair play to him, but I think there's not smoke without fire. So obviously if one of the best journalists in the country is seeing it and reporting on it, then there's obviously something there, right? Other people are noticing it. So,
and we're not after a huge overhaul. We're just for some tweaks and some little minor changes. It might be the formation, like I've been asking for a number of seasons now. Could be some personnel. There was a point in the article where he was talking about the MacArthur game, how they had a back five, were happy to absorb the pressure and then, get us on the counter and that kind of thing. And, then he was saying that, okay, well, we're just not good enough at taking our chances. Other teams are going to, and I dare say maybe Newcastle did it on the weekend, but other teams are going to look at that blueprint from MacArthur and go, okay, that's how we play. We just sit back, not so much park the bus, but we just change our formation to suit who we're playing and then hit them there, because they're going to be pushing forward. There's going to be spacing behind them and then we can hit them there. So I don't know if it's like maybe he's playing a bit of ducks and drakes, but that we're not going to change, we haven't grown stale, or maybe it's just, I don't know, arrogance, or maybe he doesn't know what to do.
I think the guess is, your guess is as good as mine with that, because I think any of those options are potentially plausible. Like, we've talked about the fact that, I think I mentioned, one of the first pods that I jumped on, that I think teams have worked this out. And I think that's evident when you look at it, regardless of, nicking a draw against, Wanderers, seemingly that's a good result at the start of season, but I think it's already started. Yeah, but it's already started to show that that's, the win in the FFA Cup is just, like a Band-Aid over a bullet hole. Because we're right back to square one.
Exactly. And like, if teams are going to sit back with a back five or something like that, well, you're going to be able to, as a coach, it's your job how to figure that out. How to break down that wall of five, whether it's be playing through them or changing the personnel instead of having the likes of Ninko and Max out wide as those number 10 sitting behind the likes of Alfie and Elvis at the moment, and having them more central, finding those little spaces on the edge of the box. If I can remind you of the goal Ninko scored against MacArthur, I think it was that night with the very exuberant away ticket prices, and he just went through them. So anyway, and there was the also the there was a the other article, the drawing, the caricature thing of sorts of Milligan, but it just reminded me of what Slowey was saying in the horseshoe. Bovine nature of their opponents, the best way for Sydney to break down MacArthur is by moving the ball, monotonously predictable, utter shape. Generally undulating the ball from fullback to centre, the fullback will have a hypnotic effect on the MacArthur players. Once they're dozing like a herd of cows in a lush green meadow, Sydney can make hay. So long as they remember, the point of the game is to kick the ball towards the goal occasionally. I know it's a humorous thing, but there's truth behind it that I just find us too lateral.
We don't move the ball forward.
You come from a coaching background, don't you?
I'm coaching at NPL.
Coach your players how to play forward and play wider areas and also play through the middle.
Well, it all goes back to whatever the philosophy is, and usually it's like a 5-dot points thing. And I do a little bit of work with the club in terms of coaching of a Sunday with their academy training program. And part of that was the onboarding process was, you know, the five sort of, you know, key points and that sort of thing. And one of those is being proactive. But it's funny, I'm not seeing a lot of it this season, certainly. I don't think there is a lot of, proactive sort of nature around our play. It is very lateral and slow and, it's very frustrating.
Well, let's move on to some better news, goal-scoring news, with our women kicking off their season in the Liberty A-League women's season against Newcastle Jets. A 3-1 win over the Jets with, you know, beautifully, it was like written perfectly that each of our strikers, Remy, Greeny and Courtney, all getting on the score sheet. It was nil all at halftime, of course, but I found that the first half, I'll talk about the starting lineup because, of course, you had Jada in goals, Green and Tobin. I think as soon as Ellie Brush went down with her ACL, I think that was like, okay, Tobin, you're back in at centre back now.
Yeah.
I was surprised to see Charlotte centre back. I thought you might have seen Jess Nash as she was there for the Matildas game. Was it the second game against the UNs?
Yeah, she got a call up. Yep.
Yeah, but Charlotte has played there in the middle a handful of times or so last season. Taylor Ray and McKenzie, I expected. I thought we'd see Rojas there, but I guess maybe her coming back from national duty with Chile.
Yeah.
A little bit of, you know, maybe there's a little niggle there or just needs a bit of a rest.
Yeah, just ease her in maybe.
But Sarah Hunter did a wonderful job there. And then, of course, I don't think there'd be a better front three in our game, both individually and as a front three entity, as a unit, than those three.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I'm just going to go straight to Vine because she is men or women's side at the moment, my favourite Sydney FC player.
Mm.
Electric, positive, always wants to drive forward with the ball, intelligent, super intelligent like that. I hope she gets credited for the first goal for an assist.
Little flick.
Because she meant it. You look at it replay because you think, oh, maybe she just stuck her leg out. Maybe she just, you know, just to, you know, see if she can get it through. But she's seen her out of the corner of her eye. Her eyes have gone, yeah, I can see her, and that's how I'm going to get the ball through quickly with that little, like, almost like a volley with the outstep of her foot.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And just, you know, the other assist to just absolutely drive down the byline. That's what you want your 7 or your 11 to do.
Mm.
That's what you want from your wide plays is just to be extremely proactive and positive. Yeah. And she was the whole game.
She reminds me, I was going to say she reminds me of a Paddy Wood who just plays directly at Mungo, but maybe I should say Paddy Wood reminds me of Courtney Vine. It should be the other way around. But look, the first half they finished nil all. Maybe, you know, had a few new faces in there with Jess Nash and Sarah Hunter. So maybe it just took a little bit to click. But I think once the second half kicked off, it was almost like picking up where they left off Yeah. We won't talk about the grand final because they were certainly outplayed by Victory last grand final last season, but they certainly picked up where they left off in that second half in terms of last season, and they absolutely dominated the girls. There was a little bit of a moment of like, them getting 2-1 and then closing that gap. But that front three and how they scored those goals, it's electric to see what could happen with them this season. I know it's only game one, but it was a very strong game from the girls.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, we didn't have to wait too long for that two-goal buffer to be restored. It was only like 2 minutes after.
Yeah.
And we got a corner and, yeah, lo and behold, Vine got a goal for her to couple the two assists that she got earlier in the game. So, yeah, it's very exciting times. Even in the first half, though, we looked like we had the better chances.
Yeah.
So, good signs, hopefully. First game, but...
Tony G of the Matildas, when he's not being the cheerleader of the girls, if you were to watch that game, if Courtney Vine's not down in his little notebook of players to watch who could be maybe put in the Asian Cup squad and beyond, Courtney would have to be there in the picture.
I think she got asked after the game, was one of the questions, I'm pretty sure. And she played it off really reserved and coy about it. It's like, I'm just focused on, sort of being the best you can be, was the general sort of comment. And, I agree. Yeah, I mean, she should be a bolter for the Asian Cup squad.
Mm.
Even before the start of the season, because I think would be extremely useful off the bench in games that are nice and tight, just to bring on a little bit of energy and speed. But
yeah.
I mean, she's only gone and further her calls for that. So yeah.
So well done to the girls. Now, next cab off the rank, Jules.
Yes. Talk. Well, yeah. I mean, I think we're all in a pretty good mood going into the men's game. And to be honest, probably for the first little bit of the men's game, we were relatively pleased. Still without a win, Sean. After a 2-2 draw with the Jets, Alfie and Elvis getting us 2-0 up at halftime, absolutely cruising. But we all know 2-0 is, as much as a cliche, it's the most dangerous scoreline in football, and for a reason.
It gives you that false sense of security, doesn't it? Because the other team only need that one goal for them to feel, all right, we're back in this, and things start to get a bit nervy. But things kind of ended when, Elvis's celebration.
Oh,
that was pretty sick.
How good was that? Look, you know what? I'm not going to jump on the Johnny Warren medal bandwagon just yet, but I have to say again, we talked about last pod, Sean, you and me, I think we said the same comments, is love his, his vigor and intensity and energy. It's been a breath of fresh air in terms of, otherwise quite lackluster sort of start to the season. Mm. He's probably been the one spark, but there's no end product. I think I said legal end product last pod. Yeah, exactly. So, credit where credit's due again. I can't
criticize him. I've got to give a lot of credit to that goal of his, because it was more than just, being a tap-in or like tap-in merchant as like Bobo gets. Mm. He's maybe a little bit of synergy of sorts between him and Alfie, because Alfie, he'd look to shoot himself, but realize, okay, the angle's not great. I'm being cut off. So he's just held up the ball, and he's just anticipated Alfie turning to cut that ball along the 6-yard box and has timed it perfectly to get him between those two defenders and to be the Johnny on the spot. So, and that takes skill. That's just not luck and happening to be there to tap it in.
100%. I think anybody that sort of says, it's just a tap in is, I don't want to criticize you if you've obviously said that out there, but do you really know football? Because the timing of a run inside a box is something that strikers constantly cock up multiple times in a game. I'm not saying that any of our players or any players in the A-League, for that matter, or overseas are experts at it all the time, but I think he's just timed that run in particular just to perfection. And, go back to the celebration. That is got to be up there with one of the best celebrations of any Sydney FC goal that we've seen.
So we had a little bit of rotation with the lineup. With Trent not being there, Elvis has been pushed up front, Max coming into that 10 position. And when I saw the team lineup being released, I thought, oh, you know, credit where credit's due for Sean, because I said that these two blokes are probably our most creative in Ninko and Max. So Steve must have been, or maybe Sandra. I know Mrs. Parker does listen to the podcast at times. She's not a Patreon member yet, and she should be. And I did say perhaps it might be good to have those two paired up with each other in the 10 spot. So that was good to see. But otherwise, it was business as usual for the rest of the team with Retre and Caceres there. But Alfie's goal, he was brought down. A lovely through ball from Retre. I will give that to Paolo. He had one of his better games.
Definitely.
For the first few games of this season. Alfie looking to tap it past the keeper, and rightfully so. I know Jets fans weren't happy with the foul, but, you know, because a penalty was given, but there was no disagreement with that being a penalty.
Oh, definitely not.
That was clear as day, every day of the week.
Yeah.
And I got to say that shot from, I don't know how to say his name, in the 27th minute, Bumal. Like, we were sitting there.
I think.
In the cove, and he's had the ball cut across to him, and he's had to chest that. And I thought, oh, that's just too high of a pass and whatnot for control. But he's turning, hit that volley beautifully. But let's jump ahead to, well, beyond halftime. So we're sitting 2-0 up. I'm not expecting the floodgates to open in the second half, but I thought, okay, maybe finish with a 3-0, maybe 3-1 second half, and be pleased with the performance, moving in the right direction. Grab some 3 points and then move on to next week.
Yep. Yeah, 100%. That's what I was thinking probably. So I was quite happy. I was preparing myself to come back on the pod and say, you know what? Yep, eat my words here. Good result. Let's turn it around. Let's move on.
That was something that I was missing the first two games, were goals. And we'd been deliciously entertained with two great goals and chances. Mm. The backflip. Cogger was pumping as much as it can be. And then Yul steps in.
He is a baller.
Yeah,
I think I said it again. He was the play that we had to watch out for the most. And I don't think he's been nationalized yet. I think he's played youth for his. I'm not saying call him up. I'm not saying that yet. Just yet. But seriously though. Both finishes were pretty tidy, and he was a threat the whole game down that side. So yeah, it's disappointing. And of it,
made Grant look silly on a few occasions. He kind of struggled on a few occasions,
probably because he might have had. I think I saw a comment on the SSCU site. So whoever said it, pretty good banter. Ryan obviously got released that from Vince Rigari that he was the player that that got COVID. So I hope you're feeling better, Rhino. At your expense, somebody said, "Oh well, you will be okay then. He won't be infected because he was too far away from you the whole game." So I thought that was, you know what, that was pretty good.
I saw that too. But in Grant's defense, maybe he could say, you know, he might have, unbeknownst to him, already suffering, and it could be true, suffering the effects of COVID already at that point, because you got
diagnosed
on Sunday. So, you know, maybe he went in the game, you know, just a little smidge under the weather. But who knows?
Definitely.
Anyway, hats off to Yul. He was fantastic. And his second goal, you know, the Redders goes low, probably expecting him to cut that ball across to Redders' left post and coming across him, across his body, but he just comes it into the top right corner. Perfect timing, because there you had the small amount but very vocal Newcastle Jets fans off there in the corner.
Yeah, no, it was a good finish, and yeah, quite a clever finish as well. And then, you know, we think probably a bit gutted at that point, but then 75th minute, we're all up in arms again, we're all cheering. Alfie's good finish as well, to be fair. Alfie's finish. And again, Retre was the main, you know, instigator at the start of it, which, again, hats off to him. But VAR rules it offside.
How did you see it? Like, look, I jumped up off of my chair. Like, I was right there behind the cove. Yeah. Nuffy does his little salute thing in me, Bob, whatever he does.
Yep.
I thought that was a goal for all money. But how did you see it?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I unfortunately wasn't there at the game. So I was watching it on telly. And when they showed the replay, it certainly looked like the defenders played at it. And if that's the rule that if a defender plays at it, then the attacker's onside. Letter of the law, I think it's a goal. I should have probably stood.
And what defender wouldn't be playing at, especially a defender of all mm-hmm. the players on the field, and what defender wouldn't be playing at the ball that's trying to be slid through when you're defending in and around the 18-yard box? Of course he'd
exactly. Of course.
Instinct and your coach to stop the ball from getting through so they can't play through those lines.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. So for me, I think it should have stood. It was a bit weird that it got called back and was disallowed. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we have blown a 2-goal lead. Mm. So I'm not going to come out and say, oh, well, we should have won the game or anything like that, because realistically, we should have buried the game well and truly before then.
Absolutely. Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah. I'm not going to come out like others. I won't mention their name, Steve, that blames the ref. Like I said, we should have had that sewn up by halftime, by full time. We should have at least finished 2-0 and then gone to bed and been happy with the 3 points. Strange thing, although the first two games I thought Steve with his substitutions were very good and very at the right time and good timing and tactically and whatnot. But I just boggled the mind for me personally. I thought Max was one of our best players on the day. He didn't score a goal. There's no assist. But a bit like Elvis, he's always looking for work. He's always looking to take on plays. He's looking to drive forward. So I just thought it was strange to take off Max for Paddy Wood, although I did want to see Wood on the field. I thought it might have been better to take Elvis off. But the stranger for me was then putting Trent on for Elvis. Nothing against Elvis, but waiting to the 85th minute to put a striker or, a forward on, and you're saying, it's kind of saying to Trent, you've got about 5 minutes, mate. Can you make something happen? Like, if you want to win the game, the Jets made a 3-person substitution, I don't know, about halfway through the second half or something like that. Arthur Pappas did that. So I just thought it was strange. If you want to win the game, and you want to, get that 3-2. I think he did that 3 substitution when the goal was disallowed. Yeah. If you want to win the game, you don't give a bloke 5 minutes. He should have made a double substitution at the 72nd minute.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know what you can expect an attacking player to really and it happens sometimes. You just get a player comes on and scores with his first touch or whatever. It happens, sure, but they're one in a million. They're the anomaly. So I agree. What's he supposed to do in the 5 minutes plus extra time? Mm-hmm. He's not and you've taken off, to use your words, arguably our most creative player on the night, Maxi. So he's not going to get as good service because Max is already off. Max Burge is already off. So, it's a weird one. And I agree. I think his substitution, especially the derby, was perfect. I wouldn't have changed absolutely anything in terms of the subs. So, but it just seems like going back to that old way of doing things with the very, very late substitutions. And maybe it's a case of just being sort of stunned by those 2 goals and not knowing quite what to do. I'm not too sure.
Anyway, now something I had on the run sheet, because I typed this up yesterday before news came out about Ryan, and I had in there, does Ryan need a rest? Because I think he's looked a bit ordinary. I've laid out hasn't been playing that great for the Socceroos. And he's come back from, you know, last in China there. And I generally felt like maybe he could do with a rest. So I thought we would have probably seen him get rested for the FFA MacArthur game.
I think so.
But he's going to get rested now anyway. As
forced, yeah.
So that opens up a good opportunity. And we'll talk about the lineup for somebody else like Callum Talbot. I don't know about you, but I certainly, that felt like a loss.
Yeah, definitely.
Not 1 point gain, but 3 points dropped.
Two points dropped. It wasn't a point gain, 2 points dropped, I think.
I wasn't thinking like, oh, here we are, you know, we got a draw today after a loss last week and we're closer to a win now. But, I just felt like once we went 2-0 up, our intensity dropped. Maybe we just didn't have that aura of being ruthless and just going for the jugular. Surprisingly, I didn't think it was this bad possession, but we only had 35% possession. I just found Newcastle.
I was just going to ask that. Yeah. Is that legit? We had 35% possession.
It didn't feel like that on the night, but I looked it up on the Keep Up app. Yes, that's the Keep Up app. 35%. Like, one thing I liked about Newcastle is that, and you mentioned it earlier, that like Yule was, I just found them very fast.
Mm.
When they're in possession on and off the ball, they move the ball quickly. Their movement off the ball was very quick. And something that we've said, John always said, others have said online, all those keyboard warriors are saying that we feel slow and sluggish.
Yeah, I think Jets have looked really good this year. I wasn't too sure about, like, I rate Arthur Pappas as a gaffer. And I think he's you know, proven that he's up to the challenge, even before he'd stepped into the role and started, you know, this season. I was always a question mark on the players, the quality around it. Would he have enough quality around to actually do what he needs to do in the style of football that he needs to do? But he's proven it the last few games, I think. I think potentially unlucky to not pick up 3 points against Sydney. On the balance of probably the second half, and the fight back. I mean, they were nowhere near us, I think, and I don't think that that's being biased or anything like that. I think we were just the better team probably in the first, but they were certainly the better team in the second. And it's kind of the opposite for the week before against the Wanderers. So watch out. Maybe when they put together a 90-minute performance, there might be a bit of a surprise packet this year.
Yeah, there might be, you know, this year's Central Coast, that meteoric. Mm. I don't think necessarily maybe finish as high as
did,
but so anyway, SFCU votes Julian. How are you
doing? So it's a hard one. I went with 3 points for Maxi. I tend to agree. I think he was probably our best player on the night. Just nothing really. Sort of 2 points to, I gave 2 points to Retray, I should say. I've put my hand out. I've shitbagged him so much in the early days of being on this spot, but he was good. He was good. Pass completion rate, I think I saw today, was like 93%. That's pretty exceptional. So, you know, even if they were 90% of them were, you know, sideways passes because Sydney, that's what Sydney do. And the 1 point to the one and only Johnny Warren medalist, Elvis Kim Sober.
Fantastic. I had Alfie for, I found it hard to pick like that one person to give 3 or 4 points to that really stood out. So I've really distributed quite a lot. So I gave Alfie 2 and then Anthony, Elvis, Retray and Max. 1 each.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Nice. All right. So we got more football on the horizon and we don't have to wait much longer, do we, Jules?
No, we don't. Tomorrow night. So this might be perfect timing. You're listening to this in the morning and 12 hours later or so, you'll be watching your beloved Sky Blues on Wednesday night, 7:30 kickoff at Cogra. Versus the might of MacArthur Bulls and the cowbells ringing at Cogra of their two fans that will be in attendance. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. Obviously, we've already had the encounter with them earlier this year and not too long ago, and we all know how that turned out. To our disappointment, they were 1-0 winners last time out against Central Coast Mariners. So, and they're sitting first at the moment. So
after three rounds,
yeah,
I made it. Like, is the table flipped upside down at the moment? Like, what's going on? It's a mistake, but
it's Stranger Things. It's the upside down world for anybody who watches that.
Thank you, 11.
Yeah, we're 11. We're 11. There you go.
Interesting to see what MacArthur do. Do they, you know, the other week it was five at the back, more defensive, get us on the counter and look then to play quickly forward and count. Or is it the FFA Cup? Well, they'll just, you know, try something else. Will they try what worked a couple of weeks ago, or will they, you know, play a bit more open freestyle and something else? I'll be interested to see what they dish up. I guess it's like what I think Jonathan said the other week to me. I can't remember if it was on this or just personally, that depending how, you can almost have chalk and cheese as to the managers who give a shit and who care about the competitions.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And look, in terms of what I think they'll do, if it's not broken, don't fix it. I think they worked out how to play us last time. If I was Ante Milicic, I wouldn't change a thing. You wanna progress in a cup, like it's win or go home. So I think if I was him, I would have liked what I saw in terms of the game plan working last time he played the Sky Blues. And if that's anything to go off, then it could be a very similar result.
Well, he's got evidence to say that Corica won't change his ways and they're not stale. Yeah. Because Ante will know what to expect come tonight when they play. I reckon if for us, on the other hand, I felt like if we had a one on Saturday night, whether it be 3-2 or 2-0 or whatever the result might have been, I reckon Stephen would have been approached this FFA Cup game just like any other A-League game. But now I have a sneaking suspicion, 2 points from a possible 9. Some injuries, although it looks like Costa and Boa are coming back this week or will certainly be in the side to start or at least be on the bench. I wouldn't be surprised if he's like, okay, I'm not going to wheel out my best guys. I'm going to save them for Sunday because I don't want injuries. I don't want anybody tired. I want to be able to get 3 points because maybe he's not far off from being desperate for them.
Yeah, I think he will make changes. I think he will, some of them forced. I think obviously we've talked about Rhino. Obviously, we'll have to have a bit of a rest and just recover from his COVID. I tend to agree, and it'll probably be potentially the smart thing to do. And when your back's up against, his back isn't up against the wall, but you've said it there in plain English, 2 points from possible 9 is not Sydney FC form. It's not what we're used to. It's not what we as a club or you know, and Steve wouldn't be happy or accepting of that as well, because he's, you know, as much as we've, you know, been critical about the way we're playing, he is still a winner at heart. So, I agree. I would like to see us change it up and just, I know the formation won't change probably, but let's give some of these, sort of younger players that don't get a run, a bit of a run. I think one of yours and Jono's lover boys, you're hoping will slot into right back.
Callum Talbot, hopefully. Yep. Yeah, I'm a fan of Callum. I've watched him in the NPL and in the youth league. So I hopefully will see him there and not Harry van der Sar. Not a huge fan of Harry. I think he's been pretty poor of late. So I think we'll see Callum and Joel. Joel just, maybe because of his youthfulness or something, but the bloke, he's very fit. He doesn't seem like he needs a breather. So Callum and Joel either side. I expect to see Donachie. I reckon the likes of, or it might be Wallen, but I reckon Wilco will get a break. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Liam McGing again and see and Donaghy. I know that's a bit strange to put a centre-back pairing that haven't played in an actual game before.
Yeah. But no, I could see that happening, for sure.
One of the two out of Wallen and Wilko will get a rest.
Yeah. I think Wilko, I mean, just on age, I know he'd be able to play and he'd certainly put his hand up too, but I think these are the players that you have to game manage a little bit more this year and moving forward, you know, the whole dad's army sort of comment that some people have talked about. So, with the likes of a Wilko or Ninkovic, you're going to have to just be mindful of their minutes, and they've got, you know, excellent sports science staff at Sydney. So I'm sure that they're monitoring that sort of stuff. But yeah, I would certainly like to see Wilko have a rest.
Who do you think will pair in the middle?
So I agree. I think it could be McGing and Wallen. So Donaghy, is he?
I like the centre mid.
Oh, centre mid, sorry. I think it'll be Callum. Callum will hopefully start. And
minutes. That was the other thing I wanted to mention about the Jets game, like how he didn't get some. Retro did have a good game and so did Harris, but I just want to see him start.
Yeah, and I think that this is the perfect opportunity for him to maybe, you know, get some minutes under his belt and hopefully impress, and then maybe he can start to just give Steve a headache at centre mid, because at the moment I think he's pretty set on the Retro Caceres sort of partnership. So for this game though, I think it'll be Neuenhoff, and I actually could see Retro still being in there. Yeah. Potentially. Just a bit of continuity.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you find Retro and Callum. I definitely think in the tens. I wouldn't be surprised if you see Costa and he can get some minutes with Max. I think it might be Wilko who, you know, needs that game management.
Yeah.
And then up front, I can just see Alfie saying, Steve, play me. I'm fine. I'm fit. He wants to get minutes. He wants to get some, not confidence, but that kind of momentum.
Some more sausage rolls as well.
Sausage rolls and just that momentum with scoring goals and getting time in front of the post. So I reckon we'd see like a Trent and an Alfie up front.
Yeah, and I think Alfie's minutes would just be managed. I reckon you've hit the nail on the head. He'll be chomping Steve's ear off and saying, nah, let me start. And then they'll probably, you know, if we're doing okay, and maybe even if we're not, around the 60th minute mark, he just says, right, Alfie, hooking you for the weekend, with the weekend in mind.
Have your legs and Pat Wood can have a run. So how do you see the game panning out? What score? Give us a prediction for 12 hours' time.
I'm not overly confident, to be honest. I sound like such a pessimistic prick the last few weeks, and I'm not normally like that. But I honestly believe that we'll lose this one in extra time. I think it'll be nil all. Bit of a lackluster game, and very similar in a way to the way it panned out against MacArthur. We'll lose 1-0. I think Davila will score.
Okay. I was tossing and turning. I didn't know. And then I just had a moment of us snagging a very ordinary 1-0. I'm going to say, win, but it ain't going to be pretty.
Yeah.
But just before we jump to the preview of the next game, the Central Coast game, very good news. Arpia Leichhardt in the FFA Cup game.
Yep.
Yeah. Knocked out the Wanderers 2-1. They've done another.
Come on.
What was it, 2-3 seasons of a victory? Done so over at Leichhardt. So
what's the end score?
2-1.
Oh shit. I left at half time obviously to come upstairs and do the pod, and I left my lovely Wanderer's wife with a 1-0 score line downstairs. We just had a shower, ran downstairs and had scored. And yeah, came back upstairs and was hoping that I'd catch maybe the back end of it, but that's great. That's fantastic.
Well, that's good. That's if they're...
For like Apia. I don't care about a Wanderers losing. I mean, I'm not going to be like them.
I've had that ridiculous extra time game against, was it Tigers, whatever it was, their last round match. Yep.
3-0.
They won 3-0 and it looks comfortable, but...
Yeah.
Before the game and looked into it, you know, went into extra time and they got two red cards. So they had time to kind of recover. And it wasn't like a week between games. Plus, as an NRL in New South Wales, they've barely played any football since June. So,
yeah. And their main striker was has been in the New South Wales African Cup, which has been played out at just around me, Blacktown Football Park. So he's had a lot of minutes in his legs, that lad. So, yeah.
All right. Now, big game coming up for us. It's my favourite away game. I'm not happy how they pushed the time back to 6:15. It was going to be like a 4 or 4:30 o'clock kickoff originally, but this Saturday, 6 o'clock or 6:15, up at Gosford, up amongst the palm trees, the beautiful water. It's probably one of the most gorgeous stadiums to watch a game at.
Absolutely.
Especially with daylight savings, will be lovely at that time nonetheless. In amongst the sauce bottles. We're 11th. They're 9th. They've had a win and two losses. They had a last round loss to MacArthur, as we mentioned earlier. I don't know what to make of the Mariners this year. I think they're
going to be a grafter. Look at their manager. Montgomery is just a grafter by nature in terms of him as a player. And I think that that's going to be very much their identity in the way they play. I mean, they play a quite high line. And they like to press very, very quickly, which I don't know, depending on who we have at the back there, because you know, you hope Rhino's recovered and maybe this rest has rejuvenated him.
Oh, he won't be on Sunday.
He won't, will he?
No, he's got definitely the next two games off.
Far out. So that'll be interesting. Yeah.
Talbot, if he does get that start, and I God hope that he does, I've watched him up at training a few times, and when they're doing certain drills, Callum Talbot's like his understudy, so to speak. So
yeah. I think
Callum gets some time. So, and he's got shitload of pace on him. Very smart player, very good at distribution and like those kind of cutting long balls across the field and whatnot and switching up play. Mariners, okay, they won't be quite the team that Stadge, when he was in charge of them last season, but maybe in years gone by, we would normally go up to Gosford, we'd be in our Hawaiian shirts and a little bit arrogant and a little bit cocky, expecting 3 points. But they're playing pretty decently despite only having one win. I know we can't talk much about any.
And
like I said, haven't had any wins. So it's going to be a tough game. And personnel out, of course, Brad and, of course, Grant. FFA Cup game midweek. It's going to be a challenge.
Definitely. I think we've actually, if you look back at our record at it's just called Central Coast now, sorry. We haven't had the best of times there the last few years. You know, we might have snagged a couple of wins, but I certainly have it in, you know, singed in my brain. You know, Ocon screaming horses out a few years ago with the whole Central Coast. It was like they won the league. So it hasn't been a happy hunting ground all the time for us up there. We certainly had great moments, you know, that 5-4 win springs to mind. But I am cautious, but thinking we could get our first win. We could get our first win, depending on, I guess, what team shows up.
Mm.
Because we were good value in the first half, but just terrible in the second against Newcastle. So if we can have a little bit more of what we have in the first half, we'll give ourselves half a shot against a Mariners that don't look, like you said, Sean, as good as what they were last year.
Got Oli Bazanich in the middle, but they're kind of lacking a little bit of something with a bit of change of personnel. So I expect our back four to be the same in terms of, I'm going to say Callum Talbot, Wilco, Donicky and Joel.
Yep.
In the middle, I think Corrick has kind of said to us all, so to speak, Retre and Caceres are our two enemies going forward. I don't think it's going to change. I reckon if Callum came on and even scored a hat trick and just had a blinder, I still think
it wouldn't matter.
Rotation. It's a shame though, because he's so talented. I'm going to say Costa starts.
Yeah.
I think we'll see. I think if they're fit and ready, and over their little niggles, and Costa had gastro. I think we'll see that front four as the typical front four that we've seen in seasons past with Costa, Ninko, Bobo, Alfie.
Yeah, which, I mean, you know, you've got two players there who have arguably been our best this year that are going to be dropped in Max Burgess and Elvis Campsover. I can't believe that has just left my mouth, that sentence. But, I mean, if I'm Elvis and I get dropped, I'd be feeling a little bit pissed off because I've actually done quite well. I've actually, you know, I've been extremely positive. I've looked lively. The last couple of games, I've scored goals. One illegitimately with a hand, but nobody talks about that. But yeah, it will be interesting. I think you're right. I think he'll definitely go back to what's tried and proven from last year when we were, you know, getting wins consistently, or actually had wins on the board. So I think it will be a tendency to go back to what works. And with that in mind, I think if Bobo's available, and, you know, he does play and he does start, then I think he's going to score a goal. It's just almost like inevitable that Bobo will score on his return this season. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. I'm not sure what to make of it in terms of score prediction. I'm going to try and be positive. I think we'll win 2-1. I think we'll win 2-1.
I'm going to say 2-0. They'll do similarly to what we did last week, but be better at, you know, closing out the game and having that better game management.
Yeah.
Cutting out the game. I don't necessarily mean sitting deep, but it might be good then to have the likes of Elvis come on late in the game and energy and pressing and harassing the keeper, harassing the defenders, turning the ball and kind of holding them in their half. So, yeah, I'm going to say 2-1, you said, 2-0 for me. Now, we'll move on. Our last bit of business before we say goodbye tonight is the A-League Women's Liberty League or Liberty Women's Game, whatever you want to call it. Us girls, the girls up against the scum of Western Sydney Wanderers. Saturday Arvo, 11th of December, over at CommBank Stadium. Last year we had a 3-2-0 win against them, so we're yet to concede, touch wood. Don't you, Sean? Interestingly, they had a goal draw with the Knicks, and the Knicks, their very first season, very first A-League women's game last week, made a really good account for themselves. And really, you know, for a young team and a very new team, quite literally, the Knicks girls did very well last week.
Definitely.
So I'm going to jump right ahead. I don't think, like, in terms of personnel, I reckon Arte, and gosh, he's a very good coach. I think he'll trot out the same 11.
Yeah, I agree, 100%.
Game broken, don't fix, especially after the first week. You'll see Jess Nash and Ali on either side with Charlotte and Matt in the middle, in the centre halves. Centre mids, you'll find who are Sarah Hunter, McKenzie and Taylor, and of course the front three, they speak for themselves. And then you might find the likes of Rojas on the bench. Paige Satchel was the other one that wasn't there against the Jets on the weekend, the New Zealander. She scored a mad goal against, I want to say, South Korea. New Zealand, I think they had like a two-game friendly, a bit like what we're she scored a mad goal, fantastic goal for the New Zealanders over South Korea, the good Korea. So you might see those bases, Paige and Rojas on the bench. There was somebody else that was missing. Let me think. Just those two. Oh, I had Ange, Aristotle, Angelique, of course. I'm confident that the girls will get a win with this.
Yeah. Yeah, I am too. I think... I don't think there's a lot to really look out for. I don't want to eat my words, you know, coming into next week. But I just think we're just way too strong across the board. filled me with a lot of confidence seeing how they played as well in the first game against the Jets. But that front three, I'll go back to it. I think they're going to be absolute headaches for every single, A-League women's defence this year.
As far as I say, in a roundabout way, that they're three of the best defenders in the game in their pressing ability and their ability to turn the ball over and set passes, deep in the opposition's defence.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
If it said something like, you defend from the front or your strikers are your first defenders or something to that effect that Johan said. Let's just jump straight to a score prediction, Mr. Jules.
I'm going to go for a pretty comprehensive 3-0 win. I think they're just, like I said, way too strong going forward. And I can't wait to see the likes of Rojas get in first minutes as well. Should be a really entertaining game for us, obviously, if we do get up with something like that. How about yourself, Sean?
I'm going to say 2-0 only because it's got that derby. It is a derby, derby vibe. And even though we are a better team in form in previous years on paper than them, just sometimes with those derbies, it just kind of draws or brings the two teams closer together. So I'm going to just go a good solid 2-0 win. Ante will get them up for this game. And I know speaking to players in the past, lucky enough to come onto this podcast, there's a lot of hatred for the West and get up for this game and want to continue on last week. Mr. Bombach, that brings us to the end of another episode. I like to think we did a very good job with Jonathan's baby.
I think so.
He's given us the keys to the Cadillac and the quarterback.
I tried to force feed at my nipple. It's all good. It didn't latch, but that's all right.
Took it around the neighbourhood, bought it back all in one nick with a full tank of petrol. It was an absolute pleasure. Look, admittedly, I'm not going to be able to get to the game tonight in the McCarthy game. I'll definitely be watching it on telly, though. And I'm looking forward to getting up there on the Central Coast on Sunday to my favourite away game, and they'll hopefully present us with a lovely win.
Fingers crossed.
More positive on next week's podcast. But Jules, I want to thank you for coming on tonight. Love having you on.
Mate, anytime.
I'm sure you'll get some feedback from Jonathan in the morning at about 9 o'clock. There'll be some
be kind, Jono.
Your Facebook Messenger inbox, so to speak. So everyone get on board, watch the listen to us tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Arrow Sports, for sponsoring us. Girls in Blue, Boys in Blue, all the best for this week's game. Righto, get better, mate. And we'll chat to you all soon. Good night. Goodbye.